Good evening, everybody. Praise the Lord. All right. Our God is a good God. But this morning, I said I would try to wrap up what I started. So I doubt if I'll finish. I do not doubt, but I just know there's plenty to share. But I will just give every time I minister is to stir you up and you take it up from there. Praise the Lord. All right, I was preaching on the kingdom of God. So we did part one, so part two, what the kingdom of God is and how to operate in it. The mysteries of the kingdom are not mysteries to those who know God and who have surrendered their lives to God and have decided to serve him. But it's mystery to many that, so they have to learn by parables, by stories. So tonight, may you receive the completeness of the word of God as it's coming to you. Amen. All right, we're going to start from, I think I stopped where I stopped this morning. I will not go back there. So I talked about different things. So I will stop there. So if you were not here, you can pick it up. You can pick up the CD or the DVD. Now, you can also go online and then get the message. Now, I'm going to continue from where I stopped. What the kingdom of God is. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I think what the kingdom of God is where I stopped. So I'm going to talk about Jesus preach the kingdom of God. What was his message? He always came and he preached. He said the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is within you. So when he said that, it's like you expect to hear something. Whoa, what is it? So we're trying to remove that confusion. There's no confusion in the word of God. Amen? There's clarity, always. What the kingdom, what did he preach? His messages is the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. All right, Mark 1. Let's go to Mark 1. Mark 1, the whole chapter, when you have time, you can read. You can read it. There are 45 verses, but I will not be reading all of that. I'm going to read from verse 14. There are a lot of things that happen in Mark 1. So after he got baptized, moved by the Holy Spirit, descending on him and all of that. So you read the whole thing and you get all that he's saying. Verse 14. Now, after that John was put, so John, who know who John is? John is the baptizer, the one that baptized people. Crying in the wilderness, his pulpit was in the wilderness. He wasn't preaching inside the city, he was preaching outskirts of the city in the wilderness. We don't have so much wilderness here. We can say in the big bush, but he had a desert wilderness. So the people went there. I'll tell you, the word of God will draw people from anywhere to come to hear him. Praise the Lord. All right, so John the Baptist. Now, after that, John was put in prison, so he was preaching. Herod put him in prison. They're getting ready to kill him. Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of what? Of the kingdom of God. Jesus came preaching what? The gospel. Is that in your Bible? Verse 15. Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Verse 15. And saying, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. What's the gospel? The good news. Everything I'm going to be saying to you, that's what Jesus is saying. He said, what I'm preaching to you, whatever I talk to you about, just believe. Somebody say, just believe. He said, believe and repent. If you're not living in that realm of what he's talking about at that moment, or you're not walking in the things he has taught, he says, you repent and you get back into it and you begin to believe. That's the kingdom. The kingdom always will bring us in. If we're not at the level of life in God that we need to be in Christ, the word of God will pull us back into it. All we need to do is to surrender to it. Somebody say, I surrender. That's all. How do you surrender? That means you let go of your will and you pick up God's will. How can that be? Let go of your will and pick up what? God's will. That's surrendering. You just surrender to God's will, and the kingdom of God will be in operation in your life. Praise the Lord. Well, earlier I did talk about the mustard seed. The kingdom of God is like the mustard seed, and the kingdom of God is like the leaven. Those scriptures were given to you this morning. For those of you who are here tonight, you can check that out on your own. I'll just give you the scripture, and then you can read that later for yourself. I think one of the scriptures was in what? Luke 13, verse 18 to 21, right? Okay, Luke 13. So it gives you the two. Two of them are, the two are right there, the mustard seed and the leaven. How it starts with a tiny seed, if you believe, it begins to grow and it begins to expand and you become a tree. So you start with almost something that you can barely see to something great. That's what God does with our lives. When we surrender to him, he starts with us like there is nothing. Looks like your life have not enough meaning. Looks like you're going nowhere. Looks like your marriage is going nowhere. Your children are going nowhere. Your career is going nowhere. Your business is going nowhere. Your relationship going nowhere. Even the town or the village or the city you live in looks like it's like the dead-end city. But because you're there and you begin to speak the word of God over it, it begins to bloom. It begins to take life. It begins to grow. It begins to come alive. So there is no dead end. I've said this word many times. There is no dead end in Christ. Amen. There's no dead end. He comes alive. Praise the Lord. So that's what the kingdom of God comes to preach to us, so we can put our trust and our hope in him. All right. Let's move down. The same Mark 1. Let's go to verse 21. So he was preaching this gospel. So as he was preaching, he started picking up disciples. So I'll skip all of that. So that same chapter 1 of Mark 1, he picked his disciples. He called them to follow him. They followed him. Now, verse 21, they went into Capernaum, and straightway they are the disciples he has picked. They went straightway on the Sabbath day, and he entered into where? A synagogue and taught. Remember, his message is what? The kingdom of God. That's his message. Verse 15. That's why you need to write down scriptures. He came teaching the kingdom of God and saying that it's at hand, the gospel of the kingdom. All right. Verse 22. And they were astonished at his what? Oh, verse 21. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath they entered into what? The synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had what? Authority. And not as the scribes. So he wasn't just there reading scripture and just telling history. He was speaking with authority. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He didn't go there like somebody reading you the newspaper. Oh, this happened today in town. They killed 10 people. It happened in town today. There was 5 robberies in the bank. That's not what. He had good news. Somebody shout hallelujah. The kingdom of God is what? Good news. Because we need good news to continue keeping on. If you keep on bombarding people with bad news, bad news, bad news, what happens to their spirit? Their spirit gets weighed down. And when you get weighed down, you begin to lose hope. Jesus is our living hope. He's got the blessed hope. He had to preach good news. What is the good news? In that town where he went, there were many people who were having issues, lots of problems. Verse 23, and there was in that particular synagogue a man with what? An unclean spirit that cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God." Isn't that something? Demons recognized him first before the people that he was with. I've seen this happen many times. We travel, and sometimes we go on a walk, and we're walking, and then we'll say some demons, they recognize apostle. They always go, "Man of God, what are you doing here?" They start talking. And he doesn't do much. He just stood like this and cast them out. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He doesn't allow them to talk and just set them free. Praise the Lord. Demons will recognize because they are spirits. Spirit recognize spirit. May demons recognize you, but if you are not strong, may they not recognize you. Praise the Lord. And some people say, "I don't want that, so I can sleep in it." You are the one that's been authorized to cast them out, not the other way, being afraid of devils. A child of God must never be afraid of devils. Say amen. You are to cast them out. They know who you are, but in the name of Jesus, every knee bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So be in Jesus so that those demons will bow. He saw Jesus and he cried out. Well, long story short, he was cast out. Remember, he's preaching the gospel. What am I getting at? Part of preaching the kingdom, when the kingdom of God shows up, demons must leave. As soon as Jesus, he entered the synagogue, and the guy that was brought there that was demonized, he cried out, and verse 25, and Jesus rebuked him and saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." He didn't say, "Hold thy peace and come out," with authority. "Hold thy peace, come out." That was it. He didn't do any other thing. The thing came out. At the word of his command. The kingdom of God has word command. When you use the word of God with authority, something must happen. Like I told you earlier, I said, it's like when there is a pond of water, if you cast a pebble in the middle of that pond or any part, what happens to it? The peaceful water ripple take place. Not only at where you dropped it, you have a circular motion that continues to move. That is a stone. How much more the power of the word of God coming out of your mouth? It can do better than a stone. Somebody shout hallelujah. Just because your natural eyes cannot see the waves of the glory of God moving when you speak, doesn't mean something's not happening. Something happens all the time. When we call that name Jesus, things are happening. As I call that name in this city today, things are happening. You can call his name anytime. He is the King of Glory. Something always happened. And Jesus rebuked him. Jesus said, "Hold your peace. Quiet. Don't disturb the service." Because he's there to do many works. Verse 26, and when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commanded him, even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him." Somebody shout hallelujah. Command. You don't plead with devils. You command them to get out. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of command. Kingdom authority. Somebody shout hallelujah. When a cop comes, wants to arrest somebody, they say, please, can I arrest you? Is that what they do? Eh? Please, would you please? They come exuding authority. They come with a presence. You, as a child of God, you carry the presence of heaven. You carry authority. When you move, when you talk, when you do anything you're doing, the authority of God is not something you just shout and you carry it. You carry the Holy One inside you. Where does Jesus live anyway? Where does he live when you ask him? He lives inside you. He must be a very weak Jesus. Is he a strong Jesus? Is he the same Jesus we're talking about? So when you speak in his name, that thing must obey. You carry him. He lives in you. And because he lives in you, you carry him, you can speak with that boldness and authority. Say amen. You don't have to take rubbish from the enemy. Say amen. So, we see the kingdom. He say he's there to preach the kingdom. So, part of the preaching of the kingdom is what? Casting out devils. Come out. Hold thy peace. Come out of him. That's all he preached. And that thing came out. Somebody shout hallelujah. That's in the word of God. Now that thing was trying to demonstrate by dancing and jumping and rolling all around the ground. It came out. There's no need for all of that. Just get out. Because the person who will feel all that jacking around will be the demonized person. So why don't you just surrender as soon as you hear it? Say, get out. You should do. Come out from my body. And save yourself that abuse. Now, we have Christians today who do that. When the Spirit of God touch them, instead of enjoying that presence of God, they begin to do what? Act like they demonize themselves. They get themselves beaten and all walked out. You don't have to do all of that. Just say, Lord, enlarge me to be able to handle what you're giving to me. Say amen. Say amen. So you don't stay there and then you get all walked out and worn out. You're supposed to get refreshed and rejuvenated. Praise the Lord. All right, verse. I really don't want to read all of it, all the chapter to you, so you need to make sure you read all of it. Okay, so the unclean spirits obeyed him. Verse 31, let's move down. And he came and took her by the hand. This is another person that God wants to do something. Simon Peter's wife's mother-in-law was sick with fever, and Jesus came and healed her. Verse 31, and he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever what? Left her, and she ministered unto them. That means she made them meal. She made them supper or lunch or whatever time they were there. Praise the Lord. And at even, so we know it's lunch because it says at even. So after that, it became evening. Okay, so sometime in the afternoon. When the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were what? Diseased, and them that were what? Possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. You know, when people carry demons, they always know. They always want to go to the man of God or woman of God and be, can I talk to you? And sometimes their words doesn't even make sense. But there should be enough compassion to set them free. Say amen. Say amen. So wherever the presence of God is, the Spirit of God is, you can have both. You have clean people and unclean people. But either way, they are there for God to set them free. You don't hide from the unclean. You cast the unclean spirit out. Somebody shout hallelujah. So they come. And then people say, oh, I don't know what kind of church is this. Even some Some funny people, they come here. Yes, they're supposed to come so that they become normal. Somebody shout hallelujah. It's like going to a hospital. I don't know what's happening here. Why are there sick people here? But that's where they need to go so they can be healed. People who are confused in their mind, they need to come to the house of God. People who are demonized, who are mentally sick, they need to be in the house of God. People who are having bad times, bad marriages, bad kids, they need to come to the house of God. So the house of God is not, a sanitized clinic. Somebody shout hallelujah. They ought to come. So these people, wherever Jesus was, look at all the kind of people that were around him. All diverse kind of sicknesses. Because the Bible didn't bother to even list them because there were too many. This one had that. This one had this. This one, various kinds, was all around. He didn't run away from him. Say, hey, Peter, James, hey, pack your load. Let's run out of here quickly. No. Dealt with it. Somebody shout hallelujah. Part of preaching the gospel of the kingdom, we must face reality of what is happening around us. We don't run and shy away. We deal with issues. We don't babysit the issues. We deal with them. Jesus did not babysit any of those things. He dealt with them and moved on. Somebody shout hallelujah. The kingdom is not for babysitting. There's no babysitters. Where you have angels, they are not babysitters. They bring they are messengers. They get your message, they take it to God, they go to God, and they bring message back to you. They're busy. That's their job. You don't babysit a demonized person and say, oh, let's just pat you and pet you like a little cat. You cast it out. In the name of Jesus, come out of the person and see it come out. Say amen. You believe before you say it, and it happens. Let's read one more in that chapter. Like I told you, you can read all the first 45 verses by yourself. Mark 1. I'll do one more in there and then I'll move on. So he said, Jesus said, I came to preach the gospel of the kingdom. Because when you read it, say he's healing people, he's setting them free, he's casting out devils, and then the next thing he's doing, he goes and spend time doing what? Praying in a solitary place. Look at verse 38. So after he healed and he shut the mouths of those devils, verse 35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into where? Solitary place, and there prayed. Early morning prayer, rising up before day. And he spent time praying. You cannot do these works without not being a prayer person. See, so prayer, people are used to just coming to church to pray. You got to have a secret prayer life. Somebody shout hallelujah. You got to have that alone time. Kingdom of God people, they have alone time with God. Say amen. You got to spend that time seeking his face, knowing what the assignment for the day is, so you are not moving aimlessly and anyhow. Seeking the face of God, then God begins to show him where to go, what to do, and how he will do the work. So that's why when he began to preach, he didn't preach long messages. He just did a lot of healing and deliverance because it's already dealt with in the place of prayer. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. You must have an intensive prayer life where you seek God. If you love to sleep, you won't be able to do this. If sleep is your companion, you begin to say, Lord, deliver me from this spirit of sleep. Somebody shout hallelujah. But the disciples that were around him, they just loved to sleep. Pray with me 1 hour. Tarry with me 1 hour. What happened? They were sleeping. They can't even do 1 hour. If we don't hold prayer meeting in church, you don't pray. Your prayer life in the secret should be greater than when you're in church. Somebody shout hallelujah. If you love to sleep, first of all, just say, Lord, deliver me from sleep. Sleep is good. He said he gives his beloved sleep, sweet sleep. So that's the word of the Lord. So you can sleep. There's a sweet sleep that's enough. And there's a sleep that is called slumber that quenches your spirit. Your spirit cannot discern anything. Things will be happening around you, you know later. After it is done and done, that's when you come awake. You should be knowing before. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Something happened during the week when Apostle was going to travel, and the flight one thing after the other was just, there were so many things. But you know what? The Lord already showed me. I could see what was happening, and I saw somebody that ought not to be flying any airplane was sitting in the plane. So I said, plane, this flight, canceled. That's all I said, canceled. So he went. All kinds of issues, electrical issues, so they're going to fix. I already did my part already. Flight what? They did everything. Hours later, he called and said, oh, they canceled the flight. I said, I told you before, flight canceled. Because it is not a fixable problem. If it is fixed, it's disaster waiting because God has already shown. The wrong person who's already dead trying to fly a plane. That means the spirit of death was present. Somebody part of that flight was carrying the spirit of death. So you cannot be among that. Praise the Lord. I just said that not for me, but so you know. You can know before. God speaks. But if you don't catch it, ignorance will cost you to pay price. Bible says, arise ye that sleepeth. Awake from what? Your slumber. There's a slumber that's not good for us. So tell your spirit man, wake up. Say, wake up. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, cut a long story short, God made it where they check. He tells his own story when he comes. You know, check for flight to go. This one. And he has to be there that same day. Where? An invisible seat was present in another flight that nobody could find, but God finds it. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. God will always make a way. There is no dead end in Christ. I should write a book on that. There is no dead end. Because I've seen God do it over and over. God has a final decision about your life. And his decision is good. Jesus said, I came for good news. Whether you are demonized, whether you are paralyzed, whether you are sick, whether you have incurable diseases, the kingdom of God, the good news of the gospel of the kingdom of God has come. Each thing he did, it wasn't a big message, it was what he just did. So Mark chapter 1 should be part of your life, the gospel of the kingdom. Somebody shout hallelujah. When he comes, there's a shift. Verse 39, and he preached in their synagogue throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. Somebody shout hallelujah. He said, I came to preach. So his preaching is doing what? Every demon, get out of town. Get out of the people. Be free, be free, be free, be free. That's gospel of the kingdom. Somebody shout hallelujah. You don't see people that say they are hearing voices and say, oh, I better avoid that one. That one is, you know. No, cast it out. Say amen. Say amen. Now, you don't run and go to the people and they say, let me cast it out. You don't be like sons of Sceva's, right? What happened to them? They got beaten. Spend your time in the secret place with God, and God will endue you with power and authority to do what he does. So Jesus said, how we operate in the kingdom, we spend time with Abba Father in the secret place, in a place of aloneness, not a place with friends, not a place with anybody, just you and God alone. There's a prayer you can pray with your spouse, with your children, with your church family, with all of that. But you got to have that time with God. You and God alone. Somebody shout hallelujah. That's how the kingdom operates. Let me leave that, so you need to read that all up by yourself. There's one more person here that he healed. Verse 41. And Jesus moved with compassion, put forth his hand. This is the leper guy. Verse 40. Says, and there came a leper, so he went to preach, cast out devils, and there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus moved with compassion, put forth his hands and touched him and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. That's the gospel. He didn't preach, long story, be clean. The leper's part is ask, and Jesus' part is what? Give. Can you clean me? Jesus said, be clean. Will you do it? I will. So it's God's will to heal you. You need to ask him. Do your part. In the kingdom, we do our part and God does his part. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And verse 42. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. Somebody shout hallelujah. So Jesus came to cleanse the leper. That's an incurable disease. Jesus cleansed him, healed, and restored him. At that time, now they have some medicine, but they are still leper. So may God deliver us from any kind of spiritual leprosy and physical leprosy. Verse 43, and he straightly charged him and forthwith sent him away and said unto him, see, don't tell anybody. Guess what? He had a blabbing mouth. He had to tell. Praise the Lord. Okay, let me get out of there. So spend time at home. Read the whole chapter for yourself. Amen? All right, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20. I'll do a little bit more. I won't keep you that long. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20. Is it up? It says, for the kingdom of God is not what? In word, but in power. It's not just in word. That doesn't mean the word of God. The word of God is powerful. Amen? It's not just saying things. You know, just saying things anyhow. You know, it's not like chanting stuff. You know, there is power. The kingdom of God is not in word, but in what? Power. Somebody say power. Force. There's a force. There's a dynamic power, dunamis. There's a power that can break miraculous power. When you speak the word of God, miraculous power, force comes out. Somebody shout hallelujah. That's how the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not in word. You are not just saying ordinary words. So when you speak from the kingdom of God, a force comes out. Somebody shout hallelujah. The word of God said their words can be heard in the ends of the earth. You say something here in Winnipeg, somebody in China, it can be affected. Hallelujah. That is miraculous force. Because there's no way somebody in China physically can hear you.
But the word travels with force in the spirit. It goes, whew, it's there. Hallelujah. Are you glad you're part of the kingdom of God? You are not ordinary. In the kingdom of God, when we say something, we're not saying ordinary words. That's why I said be careful of what you say. Speak what you want done only. Say amen. Okay. So what did I say? Miraculous, forceful power. And it puts, there's an influence that goes inside the person. The person carries a presence. And when they speak, something happens. So you don't have to be jumping up and down and trying to, you know, we're so used to maneuvering, acting, yeah, to make something come. You can act all you want, it won't work, but the power is coming from the voice. Something is happening. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. That's why with authority, when somebody say, they're giving me a minimum time to stay in this country, my immigration, they will send me home. They say, you're not going anywhere, you will stay. It's done. From that moment, it's done. Every other disturbance is a waste of time. It shall come to pass because the force has gone to work. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. So I say, well, I don't know if I ever am going to get married. Well, you say, don't you? You will get married. The right man will come to you. There's no point getting married. There's some people, they get married, next week they are divorced. You don't want that, God forbid. Or you don't want somebody that looks so like an angel of light, but it's a demon. You want the right person. Somebody shout hallelujah. You will get married. And you will marry well. And you marry in love. And you marry healthy and wealthy and blessed. And you will have children. That's how you stand. And it shall come to pass. And let that word, that force has gone to work. And it's not searching. It's searching and bringing stuff together. And at the fullness of time, right there. And we will celebrate. We will all come and we will eat and we laugh. And it looks like that long story has become a short story. Praise the Lord. So I didn't know how I did. Yeah, right time. Say amen. Say amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I remember my daughter saying, I never knew I would be a mom. I thought, I didn't know I would have a kid. Well, she said, Mom. Praise the Lord. God made a way where there's no way. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. I remember the day when we're ministering and all of a sudden, in the service, yeah, and the Holy Spirit called her. So I whispered in her ear, when would you like to be a mom? Because I was sitting there and the Holy Ghost was ministering. It didn't matter. So I said, when would you want to be? Say now or later? Now. Okay. Call your husband. It takes two to do it. Praise the Lord. You go home, do your homework, your baby will come. Guess what? It did. Praise the Lord. I've done that many times in different parts of the world. I just see, and sometimes I don't know their story. I didn't even know her own story until she told me that. Praise the Lord. I don't have to know your story. The Holy Ghost knows your story. Say the Holy Ghost knows you, knows every detail about your life, and he knows how he will work out all the detail. And you don't know when he's going to show up. Say, Lord, let me be present when you show up. Say amen. If she wasn't there at that day and that time, she would have missed her moment of visitation. May you not miss your moment of visitation. Be at the right place at the right time and let God minister to you. Say amen. How does he minister to you? He ministers and uses people. He uses anointed men and women of God to launch what he needs to launch into your life. May you be present when that launching takes place. In the name of Jesus. Somebody shout hallelujah. So never take no when God can give you a yes. Say amen. I say never take no when God can give you a yes. He has a final say. And I'll hold on to his promises forever. Okay, let's do one more. Romans 14, verse 17. I'll stop here for today. Romans 14, verse 17. Praise the Lord. Romans chapter 14, verse 17. It says, for the kingdom of God is what? Not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Somebody shout hallelujah. The kingdom of God is what? Not meat and drink. The kingdom of God is the reign of God, the rulership of God. And also because we are his children, we get to rule and reign. We get to have dominion. It's a power reign. Somebody shout hallelujah. And in this power reign, there's authority and power. That's why Jesus says you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost come upon you. They walk together. You need power for the Holy Spirit to work. So that when the Holy Spirit is working, the force, you begin to speak that force into existence. Somebody shout hallelujah. You begin to have dominion and authority, and things begin to work out. Say amen. Say amen. So demons are not your problem. They know who you are, and they bow at the name of Jesus. So wake up and do what you need to do. Romans 14, 17 says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. There's joy in the Holy Ghost. The kingdom of God is not meat. Father, give me bread. Give me meat. Give me, we started that, Matthew 6:25-32 talks about take no thought for all these things. What you will eat, drink, wear, and your future, tomorrow, up to 34, verse 34, say, don't worry about tomorrow, take care of yourself. Somebody shout hallelujah. You know, so he said, that's not what, it's not meat and drink. It's not about that. All that, you already, those things are already provided for you. See, your heavenly Father knows you have need of these things. He provides for the birds, he provides for the lily, he provides for you. Say amen. So provision has been made. God will move the heart of anyone, anywhere in the world to be of help to you. Say amen. So God will take care of you. He uses people. He gives them good measure, praise and shaking together, running over, shall what? Men bring to your bosom. So God who feeds the sparrows and takes care of the lily will take care of you. Praise the Lord. Birds don't have real estate, but they have so many houses they launch in. Praise the Lord. They don't have grocery store, but they have food everywhere. As the winter is coming, because now in this part of the world where we live, the winter is coming. How do you know winter is coming? You don't see the birds anymore. They've gathered and they're gone. And there's still some. There were some last week. I'm not sure. You saw some today? Some stay. Oh, praise the Lord. I saw some little ones. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah, I even saw some quails. You know, they came around. I said, oh, my goodness. You know. So, but the bigger ones, they're gone. They're gone hiding. But some of them, they have places where they take care of themselves. They know how to hide. Praise the Lord. So God takes care of them. May God take care of you and your family. In the name of Jesus. He said the kingdom of God is righteousness, doing things the way God. Remember I told you earlier, surrender your will to his will, living his God's standard. Amen? Not the way you were raised. Some people are so culture standard. It's their culture. This is what we do. Here in Canada, this is what we do. Here in America, this is what we do. Here in Britain, this is what we do. Here in blah, blah, blah. Here in Africa, this is what we do. No. Here we do the kingdom business. Say amen. Kingdom override natural kingdoms. Say amen. So It says righteousness, God's way, and peace. The shalom of God, nothing missing, nothing broken. Restoration. Hallelujah. Wealth, riches, health. That's what the kingdom, he brings all of that. Say joy in the Holy Ghost. Supernatural strength. You're not so weak. Every time I say, what's wrong with you? Oh, I feel so weak. Joy is strength. The joy of the Lord is what? Your strength. You need strength from God. In the Holy Ghost. You need the Holy Spirit. So if the Holy Spirit begins to deal with you, just say, I receive. So he can stay with you. Otherwise, he leaves. I don't want the Holy Spirit to leave me. I want him to continue to nudge and speak to me. Because the Bible said the Holy Spirit is the convictor. He convinces us of our sin. He guides us. He teaches us. He comforts us. Somebody shout hallelujah. So you do need the Holy Spirit. He gives you discernment, makes you to know things. Somebody shout hallelujah. So the Holy Spirit is your friend. He said there's joy. So when the Holy Spirit begin to walk with you and you walk with him, there's joy. You go, ha, hallelujah. I didn't know that, I know that. Oh, hallelujah, look what the Lord has done. You begin to rejoice. Joy in the whole. This is what happened. The kingdom of God is full of joy. Not sadness, not sorrow, not pain. May he deliver every one of us. In the mighty name of Jesus. Well, that's just a few. You know, I have like 3 pages of the kingdom business here. So, but we just did a few verses. Praise the Lord. If you just live on a little bit of that, you do yourself well. Say amen. Say amen. Well, those of you on the internet, television land, we bless you in the name of Jesus. May God strengthen you and your family.